Welcome to another...
The official podcast of The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
Do you hear that, Earth? The Leaky Cauldron.
Just go! You're wasting time!
Welcome to Pottercast, your number one source for news, theories, discussion and interviews with people from the Potter books and films. I know a small amount myself, having written the books. My name is J.K. Rowling. I am now happy to introduce your hosts, Melissa, John and Sue.
Going strong, it's Pottercast number 134. Welcome, guys.
Yay!
Woo-hoo-hoo!
Hello!
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm Melissa. I'm here with Sue and John, and we are in for yet another week of awesome Harry Potter news, theories, discussions, and blah, 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 stuff from Joe Rowling and blah, 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 other stuff.
Who? What's that name? Joe Rowling?
Joe Rowling.
Sounds like bowling.
I don't like bowling.
Not like Rowling.
Not like Rowling. Welcome, I'm happy to be back.
Yay!
We're happy to have you back.
I've missed you guys, and I know it's been on and off, but I'm here now, finally.
Yay.
Forever and ever and ever, amen.
So with that, let's hear what's happening in this week's Harry Potter news.
Oh, news?
Right after... Oh, never mind.
right after nothing.
After nothing.
Right after this break, to do the hamster dance song.
Because we can. No, we should play the can music. Because Emma.
No, I loved at the end of last week's show how you guys had the Alan Rickman and Sweeney Todd.
Oh, yes. That wasn't it great?
That was wonderful.
I listened to that music all the time. I probably saw the movie. It was fabulous.
Yeah, I liked it, but I didn't love it.
Yeah.
I thought it should have been funnier, weirdly enough.
Funnier.
Funnier. That show, I know it's about a murderer and everything.
It is funny.
But
there's
it's
funny.
Funny
about that show.
It actually is really funny. Anyway, this is not a Sweeney Todd podcast. So, welcome to Pottercast 134. We have our news.
Mm-hmm.
Comes to you from the Sues. What's happening this week?
I want to sing Can. You know why? Because we finally heard today from Miss Emma Watson, who says she's doing her first scene with Slughorn, and they're doing Slughorn's dinner party. Yes.
Ooh.
Yes.
Slug Club.
I know. I'm excited. Well, I don't know. She said she was eating, I don't know, their little, I can't, if I say it, I'll say the word wrong.
Some kind of donut, I think.
I don't know. I think they're like cream puffs. She wrote it on her site that she's up on today, January 10th. It was first day she recorded. So that's really cool to know that they're doing that. But if that's the scene, then maybe it's the Christmas party scene. I was thinking maybe that's what it is, as opposed to
maybe.
The Slug Club. I don't know. Well, no, but I was just excited because I love the Christmas party scene in the book. You know, first of all, there's Luna, who's hysterical, talking about the Rotfang conspiracy, and you're seeing that in Snape and all of that. But
The Rotfang conspiracy, that is one of my favorite things about Luna ever.
What is it?
The Rotfang conspiracy.
Yeah.
What is it that the ministry is spreading lies through tooth care or something? It's so funny. I can't remember the exact words.
It had to do with like gum disease, right? Something in gum disease.
Yeah.
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 Oh my God. Right.
The Rotfang conspiracy. God.
You know. So I hope they put little quirky things like that in.
Oh, no.
That's the kind of stuff I'm hoping they keep. I know we talk about this every time there's a new film, but when you don't keep that stuff, you take an essential something out of J.K. Rowling's work. Everybody.
A little humor.
Yeah, and the first thing people say when they say why they fell in love with Harry Potter was its humor. And
yeah,
everybody without fail, it was funny. It was funny. It was funny. It was funny. It was funny.
That's okay. I mean, for every clever joke that Joe writes, I mean, we'll have it replaced by Alan Rickman hitting somebody in the head with a book.
John and I talked about that last week, Mel. We're trying to predict how many times Rupert's going to get whacked on the head this movie.
We'll throw the laughs back in there. It's okay.
Yeah. Or him running up to somebody and getting right up in their face.
Yeah.
Which he does in Sweeney Todd, too. No, he does it in Sweeney Todd, too. If you guys haven't seen Sweeney Todd, Alan Rickman and Timothy Spall play characters who are very much like...
Yes, they do.
Timothy Spall kind of waits on the Alan Rickman character here, which is pretty much you're watching a preview of Half-Blood Prince.
Yeah.
So
funny.
I've seen Timothy Spall in like three movies in the past couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
The old Potter again, and Sweeney Todd, and then Enchanted. And he makes the same faces in every character. Makes me laugh so hard, this guy. Such a creepy-looking character. He's always playing them. So funny.
Yeah. Well, Alan, I gotta say, Alan Rickman, fine actor though he has been, he was doing Snape in Sweeney Todd. It was just Snape with a different person sitting in front of it. It was...
You think?
Yeah. Watch it. You'll see.
I've seen it twice.
It's just Snape.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
It's Snape crushing on some 16-year-old girl, which could make Hermione Snape fans a little...
Well, I mean, plot elements of Sweeney Todd aside, but, you know...
Yeah, screwed up.
I wasn't talking about that, John. Thank you for bringing it down to the lowest common denominator once again. I've missed you so.
Come on, Snape. Find someone your own age.
Okay.
Oh,
what else
goodness.
Happened?
So let's see. Well, continuing on with our Half-Blood Prince news, Helen McRory is also set to begin filming as Narcissa. She'll be in scenes with Mr. Rickman and Helena Bonham Carter. She'll be back soon, too.
I can't wait to see that.
That's,
I forgot all about that effect.
Yeah.
With the fire and the unbreakable vow, I'm going to try to make that one now instead.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Do it. I can't wait for
this. What are you trying to make now?
So what's that, Melissa?
What are you making?
Remember the when they hold
the
hands
fiery
and
snake.
The fire wraps around their hands?
You're doing that? You're making the effect?
I think I've got a new class now. I'm just started where we're actually doing a lot more pyro effects.
When are we going to start seeing some of these on Leaky?
When they're polished
just
enough
show
for
people.
Me to not shudder at, but it should be soon. I graduate in March, so.
No. Speaking of visual effects, the shortlists are being announced for the Academy Awards. And for the first time...
If there is an Academy Award.
Yeah, yeah. Well, although,
there's not going to be an Academy Awards.
They canceled the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
This is going to be so weird. They were talking about doing some kind of like a telecast announcement of the winners or something.
That's what they're going to do for the...
They're talking about doing a clip show for an hour or two.
A clip show? No, you can't even do it. You can't even do a clip show. It's because it has writer's work in there.
Well, I guess, they can't have the guild writers write the sequence of clips.
You know, I know this is not technically our topic.
Yeah.
But.
Entertainment world.
It's really gross what they're doing. The producers. The producers and the non-writers. And I know I say this from a biased perspective. But, come on! Give them a little tiny percentage of the DVD stuff that they wrote. Anyway,
it's very complicated
But basically, it's reconfiguring contracts in order to allow now for the new developments in the entertainment industry, such as the proliferation of DVD sales, which they got nothing of before, and which harkens back to the earlier times when nobody thought that VHSs would be anything worth making a contract negotiation about, and so it didn't. And so they're trying to fix that now, and it's just a mess. It just keeps going on and on and on. And it could affect Harry Potter.
Yes,
I don't know how.
What they're worried about now is rights to get paid fairly for things that go online and other new media. Mm-hmm. And right now, they don't get anything for anything that's ever, seen online. Anytime you go to any of the big networks and watch your favorite TV show, for free, and they have commercials, none of those unions are getting paid anything, any of that revenue that comes in there. And if the future is that kind of new media, then these guys really need to sort that out. And it's the writers now, but you know what? It's the Screen Actors Guild's contracts that come up over the summer, so it's all tied together.
I'd really like to have an interview, though, with Mr. Close. That would be our podcast. Come on here.
I hear he's doing 7. Do we know that for sure?
No, that was just someone's personal blog speculation. I think that's...
Oh, okay. I'm going to put money on it, though.
Well...
I mean, you've done 5 of 6.
Yeah.
Do the last one.
Yeah, that makes sense. But what that blog also said, there was a blog out there now that said that he's going to direct it, too. And I think that's...
Wait,
that
no.
Yeah. That's why I pretty much said...
What?
Yeah, that's what it said.
Huh.
I was like, uh-huh.
What do you think? I'm pretty sure they've chosen the director.
Yeah, it's that guy who directed Pan's Labyrinth and the Orphanage movie that's coming out.
No, John.
What's wrong with him? He's awesome.
He is awesome. But there was an uproar on our site when the rumor came around.
Why? It's just the people who didn't like Alfonso.
I know, just because they're best friends.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know.
They must have the exact same style and everything.
Yeah,
I'm with the same person.
I wouldn't be surprised if Mr. Yates does the film. That would be my guess. I don't know. What do you think, Melissa?
I don't know, three films? Well, okay, I think that the announcement for Seven, I think there's going to be some element of surprise to it.
Really?
That, yeah, that either it's a director we've seen before, or Yates comes back for number three, or maybe it is Clovis. Maybe he decided to finally direct one. Writers become directors a lot.
Well,
I wouldn't be overly surprised if it was Columbus.
Neither would I.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I would hope he...
A darker tone Columbus.
Mm.
Yeah, but there's never been a darker Columbus.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever said Columbus, do it darker? If people hire Columbus, they know what movie they're getting.
I love
that. I don't think this guy has any versatility to him.
I love, though, how, John, you just cut to the right, this core of the matter. What if somebody just said to him, hey, Columbus, do it darker?
Yeah, come on.
But he hasn't shown that in his other body of work. And I'm not saying that he's not capable of it. He hasn't really exhibited that in his other...
Yeah. It's more
just because the directors have their niche doesn't mean they can't direct out of it. These guys all go to film school. They have assignments where they do specific...
I'm not really worried about Dark for Seven. I'm worried about those small moments. Those small moments that are so crucial to the larger story. Harry coming to the knowledge about Hallows and Horcruxes. Harry,
yeah.
You know, becoming the leader that he is. The realization of the Expelliarmus has to be clear, you know? I know, you're laughing because you're big Expelliarmus.
Maybe I'll disarm him again.
Yeah, and you were right.
Yeah.
I know. I love it.
I don't know, but that'd be really interesting if Clovis did. I mean, he has directed other films, and so I don't, you know.
I don't care. As long as Stuart Craig's on for all seven, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, but you know what? They did not get nominated for the shortlisted for visual effects for this film, and I was pretty disappointed.
That I just don't understand.
No. Order of the Phoenix is shortlisted for best makeup, but not for visual effects. Now, maybe art direction, maybe they'll put them in for art direction that hasn't been released, but I don't get it.
I
don't understand. It's just there must be some sort of political thing that I just don't understand. I don't understand a lot of the award shows either, but, you know.
I think there's just a bias against these movies.
I think there is. There's a stigma like, oh, well, if it's family entertainment or, you know, something that's massively popular. I mean, because you get, like, Spider-Man and those kind of things, but they don't get acting nominations. You don't see, I mean, it's rare, like, when Lord of the Rings swept.
Yeah.
That was popular as well as being, you know, well done. But it's just, that's a rarity. No.
I mean, that's a huge argument that many people take, that, like, what is the most successful in America doesn't necessarily make a good cinema.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, then it's this, you know, spiffy, snooty-nosed, you know, view of, you know, we think this is good, contrary to what the country thinks.
Right.
I don't know, like, they distinguish the difference between what's a high-selling, big-budget movie and what is art.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, these films have come such a long way.
Oh, incredibly.
And they put so much effort into this to you know, just brush them off as, you know, it's just this big machine now, this Potter thing. You know, they're not art anymore. It's just, you know, I think that's total crap. I'm pissing them off.
I couldn't agree with you more. But you know what? I do think they're visually stunning. And I saw one the other day. I saw one out of my friends who has a Blu-ray DVD of the
Sweet.
I want it.
Well, Warner Brothers is only going to be making those movies from now on in Blu-ray anyway.
I know.
Thank God, that's a big deal.
That is a huge deal. They have just, like, cut the HD. They must have been marketing. They must have been fighting for that for a long time to get Blu-ray exclusives from Warner Brothers. Because there's this fight, and everybody kind of thought that HD...
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody, but a lot of people thought that maybe HD would edge out, but that was a serious blow.
Well, here's the thing, is that, number one, Blu-ray is a better format than HD, if by no other reason than it holds more capacity than HD.
Mm.
If you have a DVD and you have an HD DVD holds three times more, the Blu-ray holds five times more data.
Wow.
So there's more... And more flexibility, and there's a higher capacity disc. You got Microsoft backing HD DVD for the most part, and you know the Xbox 360s and things and all that out there. are, you know, some of the biggest things pushing that format. But then when you have an announcement from Warner Brothers, like, we're done with UHD, HD DVD, we're going Blu-ray, then all your other big studios look at that. And right now there's a lot of speculation about Universal and Paramount.
Oh, right, right.
And what are they going to do? Because apparently Universal is already on the fence pushing towards Blu-ray, and Paramount has an escape clause in their contracts to do both, where if it looks like the trend is leaning towards Blu-ray, they'll jump out HD and they'll move to Blu-ray. And if that happens, if those three studios go to Blu-ray, it is all the hell over. Buy your Blu-ray players now at this point.
Aren't PS3s Blu-ray?
PS3 are, yeah, because that's Sony, and Sony is backing the Blu-ray.
Yeah, it's just continuing. It's just continuing and continuing, you know?
Amazing.
Yeah.
So.
But I was just really...
Anyway, anything else? Well, there are a couple of small updates in the Lexicon matter. You guys remember that J.K. Rowling and Warner Brothers sued RDR Books, which is trying to publish a version of the Harry Potter Lexicon. Just a change in dates, really. We'll hear more about this soon. Originally, the suit was going to be submitted on the 7th. That's changed to the 15th. For all the details, you can check out the news.
Yeah.
There's really not much more than that. It's been a lot of...
For more discussion on that, if everybody's curious about that, there are some threads happening in the Leaky Lounge.
Yeah.
And ironically, the Pottercast area.
I'm not sure why.
I don't know. People decided, well, let's do it here. But there's people talking about the case in general and the possible impact the judgment will have on the fandom. Very interesting conversations happening there.
Yeah, a lot of crack legal analysis going on in there. It's really interesting to watch. Yeah. So. All right, well, what have we got this week?
We got a crazy week because in other random fandom news, Melissa has finished writing her book.
Oh my god.
Which is
no,
why
no.
She's with us now. She is not even 24 hours away from the keyboard at this point.
Not even 12.
Yeah, so us leaky folks are having a fun little get together at the Big Apple place, and celebrating having that thing done. And so.
It's not done.
Probably.
It's not done. It has to be edited.
Okay,
and
fine.
I feel like
your
I'm going to vomit all the time. There's a draft done. Guys, I wish I could explain this feeling to you. It's not like, yay, I'm done. It's not like, boo, I'm done. It's like a...
Well, what happened was is that you met Hot Cheryl at Heathrow Airport, and then she got on the plane and took it to her New York office. But
anyway.
It'll be fine. We're going to have staff over, and we're going to talk more about... You're probably going to... Get in people's face with a microphone and make them talk canon, even though they're probably just wanting to have fun. So it'll be amusing for me at any rate.
Well, we'll see. See how amusing it is for me when I hear the outcome. All right. On to the show.
On to the party.
Hello, podcast world. We are here at Melissa's apartment. The morning after a very fun party.
Party.
Celebrating not just Melissa, but everybody in the world.
Everybody in the world. Yay.
And we're eating bagels and cream cheese and coffee and orange juice. And everybody's talking about, what are we talking about? We're talking about the transcription elves being terrified of the prospect of transcribing the 20 people that are here at the moment, individually. Excuse my voice, I was screaming very loudly last night. Yeah. Wow, I'm just grateful there were no cameras there.
We're about 65.
There were still cameras.
There were video cameras.
No cameras can be taking videos.
You know. I think we're gonna lock the door and individually figure this out. So.
Thing. So we get an idea.
Oh, fun. Okay, well, we'll start over here.
I'm Josh, and I've
got a multiple.
Start over here.
I'm Lisa, and I'm quest author.
I'm Leah, and I'm Padford Forever, transcription elf proofer.
I'm Josh, I'm always a sidekick, and I'm a transcription elf as well.
I'm Edward. You may have seen me on the main page a few times.
Yeah.
I'm Lizzie. I'm Melissa's assistant.
Yes, she is.
She has 7 of those now.
Sarah, poet on the lounge, transcription elf. I'm Hyatt.
Hey, I'm Alex, and I'm just a big fan of John Noe.
Aww.
Hi, my name's Matt, and I'm just here for Melissa's party, and it was really cool.
And they're also in bands.
Awkward.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh. Something about a tree and a werewolf. Cool.
But we like you guys better. Let's not talk about it. We don't want to talk. This is about Pottercast. This is not about Wizard Rock right now. So.
Yeah, it's not about Wizard Rock at all. In fact, we're not going to bring it up again at all.
Yeah. It's about Pottercast. And love.
I know where this is going.
Pottercast.
And what? I am MJ, future Weasley on the lounge, and I moderate the Pottercast forum and work for the corner booth.
I am Jeff, Phoenix Tears 84 on the lounge. I am a transcription elf.
And I'm Addie, Madam Pen on the lounge.
And where's Moochka?
What did you talk about? Coffee talk.
Well, we got pros and cons of Deathly Hallows shot in the 2 movies.
Yeah.
I imagine people have opinions about this.
So what do we think, good or bad?
I like what, I think you mentioned, Melissa, that there's a lot of story that we didn't know was important until we got to the end of book 7, that we really need to get the full impact of the end of this movie. We are going to need to not leave out certain things, and we need to put in certain things to get the full impact of how Harry's story comes to a close. It's a beautiful story. And if we have 2 parts, it's going to be hard for the writers to pull off. I mean, what do you do at the end of movie 1 to make it feel like it's got a conclusion, but still, you know, if they can pull it out, it'd be wonderful.
Yeah, the camping could be a montage more than...
That's what I know.
I mean, it's more of a montage, but you have to show the progression of the season and the progression of the year, yeah. But I don't know. I have mixed feelings. I don't know that it would really work as 2 movies.
I would sit and watch the 1 4.5-hour movie. Do it like they did with Sound of Music was originally in the theaters, and just give people an intermission.
Yeah,
nice. I really don't know why they got away from the intermission thing, and especially with this particular series of books, it's so detailed. I know they can't focus on every small detail, but they're so involved, and they've just cut so much out at this point to sacrifice. They've sacrificed. It's like edited for TV kind of movie now, you know? It's like they're formatted weird. So I don't know why they got away from the intermission. I also would do a long movie if they gave like a 10-minute intermission. So I could go to the bathroom, get a new pop, and be done.
Do you guys think that there's a natural feeling, you know, middle that could be an end to part 1? Where would that be?
Maybe right before they invade the... Oh, when Ron leaves, that would be a really good question.
That would be intense.
Yeah. That's quite the hang. Okay, yeah. Is he coming back? What the heck?
It's like those old, yeah, like, serials, wow, on the radio.
It's like, what's going to happen? The train is careening towards the end of the...
And then
Ron's gone over the cliff.
The beginning of the next movie is them dealing with that within, like, you know, 30 seconds, the white doe appears.
Yeah.
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Well, no, we have to go to Garfield Hall first.
What would they call it? Would they just call it part 1 and part 2?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That would be fine.
And for Kill Bill.
Don't you think that it's possibly the studio wanting to do it rather? I mean, like, it's obviously for story as well, but maybe the studio wants to milk it for all they got. Like, they're going to make just as much money. Dude, they're going to make twice as much money if they do 2 movies, and they're going to satisfy the fans more because they'll be able to put more in, so it might be like a studio type.
Do we have any problem with that?
No, I'm just saying.
I mean,
honestly, like Alex and I were talking about this earlier, and the first thing we thought of was that if they turn it into 2 movies, that's going to give Wizard Rock a longer shelf life.
Yeah.
So I'm totally all for it, really.
Also, I don't know about... I mean, definitely they'll make more money, and also if you have a shorter movie, like, we're all hardcore fans, but most people want a good 2-hour movie. Like, you don't want a 10-minute song usually. You want, like, a good, solid 2.5-minute song, like Bad Case of the Boldies off the new Whomping Willows record, Whomping Willows 3. You know, like, that's a solid single that people are going to enjoy. That's people want a short movie to just, you know, get in, get out.
And let me just riff on that for a second, because... I can actually
think, brought that up. Yeah.
Like when we were sketching it out, I can think of 25 good reasons why You know, one longer movie would be good. But speaking of 25, the release date for my new CD is January 25th, and that's in about 2 weeks, so check it out, guys.
That's perfect. Any more ideas for where the ending of part one would be and where part two would pick up? So that's probably, you know, the hardest part about this.
Let's look at the chapters.
What's exactly halfway? I think it's an odd number of chapters.
759.
It's the Silver Dose, so right before that.
Wow.
Solid. If I could, though, just if we're talking, no, seriously, if we're talking about adding stuff that we didn't know before, because the movies don't really care about, like, you know, Neville or, like, the backstory at all, yeah, I don't know how, even if you make it a longer first movie, how you're suddenly going to inject all this information, like, oh, by the way, remember that time in our third year when that happened, or, like, any of that stuff. It's, I mean, it seems like we're where we are right now, and we have to go with the mythology the movies have created, and I don't know.
Well, they can expand some of the relationships with another movie. They can do a little work on character building and do a little, you know, do maybe a little bit of backwards Dumbledore work, even though he's dead. But, you know, I don't know, you can make us care more about people that we haven't had time to care about.
We can be that redhead chick that's always following Harry around.
I know, and have the habit of blowing up entire rooms.
Actually, we haven't lost much ground on that. She is what she was, and that was about it. No.
Well, they could also, I mean, we're talking, this will be the seventh, and if they do it in two parts, eighth movie, so I think they could film it with flashback, like, you know, something that he thinks of, but that's hard too, because they're also much older. So, you know, doing anything flashback, I mean, if they didn't get it on film, it ain't going to work.
Right.
Yeah. it's all shadow, exactly.
Well, you know, I wonder how much they shot from all the previous movies that never made it into the film. I don't know how much of substance.
ABC Family?
Yeah, ABC Family's got a store of it.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
You still have little lines from book six where she's saying, you know, but I still want you, and it's like, well, I'm too old. I mean, there's little things that can be injected into other scenes, like Shell Cottage or whatever, but I agree. It's really hard to stick stuff in from other books.
The stuff that always bothers me is not particularly that there aren't the character relationships there, it's that all these cool events never occur, you know? Like, like for me, a sticking point is always Neville. Like, how do you go back now? In book seven, Neville is such a BA, and like, how do you go back and he hasn't really shown anything until, I mean, in the movies at least.
But he
hasn't
shown until the seventh book either.
Right, but you know at least he's like a special character, and in the movies you have no idea that he's just awkward.
Well, they tried to trump that up a little in the fifth book. I mean, you know, he had a couple of key conversations, you know, that kind of made him sound like he was ready to pull you in a position to fight, you know. It's too bad that we've missed some of that, but I think that they have a small but distinct window of opportunity to make it up.
I mean, I think he has sticked out more than, you know, just any other random non-Harry or Ron Gryffindor in the house, because he had scenes in the Goblet, he was a Gillyweed dude, and, you know, then he's the weird looking plant guy in Phoenix.
They never explained.
Well, he was awkward. He was actually an awkward dancer in book four. In movie four, he wasn't. You know, we see that progression where he fixates on something that he needs and he wants to do to make himself better, and he does it.
It's true. You know what I'm most curious about, though, is if there was two different parts to the Deathly Hallows movie, you know, how much would they focus on the part where you know, Voldemort and Snape and everybody is messing about the Whomping Willow and hiding out there in the shack. I mean, how much of that would we see? And would we feel sorry for the tree at that point? Because the tree was kind of a jerk, whacking everybody around.
The tree is never a jerk. It's involuntary motion. It's, the tree has no control. And I think, I don't know. I feel like Deathly Hallows really highlighted just how essential the Whomping Willow is to the entire series.
True.
And I think that that must have been a very stressful experience, you know. I mean, the only other person that can relate to that would be Jenny Weasley in Prisoner, Chamber of Secrets.
Well, there's also HP.
Yeah, Harry also, you know.
Yeah.
Wait, and it was Voldemort, Harry, and Jenny in a tree.
Hot.
I mean, the tree Harry and Jenny.
Are you talking about threesomes, Melissa?
That was my fun.
I saw it.
Who else has got opinions?
How much time would they need to have between the two releases?
That's a good point.
Six months.
I just want to be, when it does inevitably happen, after they're both already released, like I guess at the release of the second one, I want to be at the movie theater that's showing the first volume first, so that I can sit and watch it all in one.
I'm sure there'll be plenty of that kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
Every time one of these movies comes out, there's invariably like a friend of mine that's like, well, I haven't seen the other ones, I'm just going to watch this one, will I get it? I'm like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
And then, think about how lost that person's going to be walking into just the second half.
Yeah.
What happened? Who are these people? What's up with that weird dough?
Yeah.
Why is it glowing?
I think after...
Are those wands? What's happening?
I think after now it will be 13 years of books, many years of movies. We will have the right to turn to those people and say, get out of the theater. Just go. Go read a book, watch the other movies. Like, what are you doing here? I think we have the right to say, look, you had your chance to be in on The Secret. We don't have to stop and explain things to you anymore. Go figure it out.
So you know what I don't want to see anymore is, like, the opening of Order of the Phoenix, when they had, like, Dudley tell the audience how Harry didn't have parents.
Oh, yeah.
And all this. It was just so, you know, come on. This doesn't feel right.
Yeah. How much backstory? Stop doing it. How much backstory do we need in front of every single book?
Right.
Yeah.
Constant.
And it wasn't in, you know, the later books, but will they keep putting it in the later movies? It's like, clue in, guys.
Yeah. If you're going to a Harry Potter movie, you know what it's about. I mean, you have to know something. I mean, there have been 5 movies so far. So, you shouldn't start with movie 6 or movie 7 if you don't. You know, if you don't know it.
I think, though, on the other hand, that's pretty common practice with sequels, to just give, you know, the first 5 minutes dedicated to setting the foundation. Even people who know, like, it still gives you, like, a visual context and a continuity.
Yeah.
I also thought we just segue into Cedric has just died, you know, talking about Harry's lost parents, that he's seen this person die, and then you get that, you know, the rest of movie 5, he's going through this emotional turmoil.
I mean, it was there. I mean, in the book, I mean, Dudley did tease him.
That was important to have in there, not necessarily the lines worded exactly that way.
Something just occurred to me, this is a little bit off topic, but who wins in a fight? Dudley or Draco Malfoy? Or, like, in a fight of being jerky? Those are the only two characters that ever bring that up.
Draco Malfoy.
I think Draco would be a little more clever.
Yeah, and, like, Draco is smart.
But Dudley would win in a fight.
Like, he cuts...
Dudley would win a muggle fight for sure.
I think that would be a fun fight
to see. I would like to see that. I'd like them both to lose.
Pay per view.
Yeah.
Muggle fight. I would like to see, with it being 2 movies, to bring us up to speed on Dobby, because he's been pretty much left out, and that's a huge death in the 7th book.
But that would give a good chance to have some Dobby.
Yeah.
So that when he does die in 7, it's, you know,
do you guys remember?
It has some sort of impact. Cause now it would just be, he's dead.
And if they try and pull the whole budget thing again, I'm gonna be so angry.
Can we only afford one elf?
Tell me you can't afford it.
God.
I really wonder if this decision was made after the release of Deathly Hallows, when they saw it's like, there's a lot that they need to tie up, and there's a lot that we left out. So I wonder if this decision was made after that. And then it was all along they just did one, and then they thought, we have to do it this way.
I could see that.
And what about more of the backstory that we've learned since Deathly Hallows has come out? Will they incorporate any of that into the final book? I mean, it's not in the books, but it has been talked about by the author. So will they bring that back in?
Like,
and try to bring it in.
Michael Gambon wearing his rainbow pin.
No, not necessarily that. Although that would be cool. I could see that. But no, there's other things that we've learned, and will they
expand perhaps the epilogue a little bit. The palace really
and then go into Leaky Cauldron and Hannah and Neville are there on the first day of school.
They better have an epilogue. They better have a film epilogue because that's just an easy
candidate. How could they not do the epilogue?
They're movie people. It's a more dramatic ending.
But the kids are old enough to see it.
Like, maybe after
you know?
The credits.
So do you think they'll age our trio 19 years or whatever? Or
especially what if they did at the end of American Graffiti and put up the little picture and say, after graduating Hogwarts.
And that would be bad.
Okay.
Not
would be
bad.
Bad.
It's also like the end of Legally Blonde.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
The movie and the musical.
How does having two movies affect the decision of who they choose as director?
Would they use the same, or would they use two different directors?
Like they did Lord of the Rings, they shot all the footage at the same time.
As opposed to using a director that they've already had before, like you can't really. I don't know what the post production period for movie six is. But
I think that would take David Yates out of the running.
Exactly, that's what I'm
saying. Because he's just done two. To do two more back to back might kill him. You know.
And they'd only be an hour and a half each, and he would argue that they don't need to be two movies.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just, who knows? Maybe he is the indefatigable director. Maybe he's just like, I will sit on the Potter thing until, you know, maybe he's that guy.
I don't know.
What if it's like Chris Columbus?
I was just going to say, I have that itch.
Yes.
I have that weird feeling in the back of my head that this is very possible.
Yeah.
I would love for Jackson to do it. Peter Jackson.
Yeah, that's
awesome. Because you know he would be...
But you know what? We don't...
He's got his new project now. He's doing The Hobbit.
Well, what we don't know about Peter Jackson is whether he has that kind of love for the Potter series.
Right.
He has to have that kind of love, otherwise he's just another guy.
Have we ever heard him talk about it before? Has he ever been asked in an interview?
If he can direct Halo, he can direct Harry Potter.
He's doing The Hobbit.
He's doing The
Hobbit.
He can't do it.
Yeah.
He's producing The Hobbit. He's not directing it.
Nobody plays The Hobbit's two films?
Well, sorry. Yeah. It's The Hobbit and... other material, like other Tolkien material in another movie. But it's not like The Hobbit split up into two.
Yeah.
It's like The Hobbit as one movie and then another movie of other Tolkien
material. But I was just thinking that maybe that this decision came about because, partly at least, but now there's going to be these two Lord of the Rings movies as well, you know, why have them be dominating the fantasy genre for that long period of time?
Aww.
We could potentially eclipse.
But
you know,
when I saw that, like I'm a pretty big Lord of the Rings fan, and like I follow it, like that the movies and all that. So it struck me as like just cashing in on it. You know what I mean? It doesn't seem like there needs to be another movie. It's The Hobbit and whatever else they can kind of throw together, which is not what we're talking about here. It's splitting up the story that we already have.
I'm talking like from an industry perspective. You know, like they might be like, well, now the Lord of the Rings thing is going to be back, and now these two big fantasy films will take over those summers or that season or whatever, and hey, we can do two films, why don't we do it? I don't know, maybe that's cynical.
But why don't, I mean, in that case, why not do Half-Blood Prince as two movies? And
I think Half-Blood Prince is a good one, so.
But I'm saying from that perspective, like, why not just milk it?
Okay.
It, once you cross that threshold of making things two movies.
I think it's also like the rest of the movies that are out right now. Like there is like, you go to look up all the movies that are coming out, there are so many new fantasy movies, like Golden Compass just came out and that Stardust movie was kind of fantasy. And that Water Horse movie, there's like 1,001 fantasy movies cashing in what Harry Potter started. So I think by the time 7 comes out, it may have died down a little bit.
But yeah, Narnia's got another one coming out,
Prince
Caspian.
Coming out. And then it'll be John Turner right after that, so there's going to be a whole bunch of other big budget fantasies.
Mm-hmm. There's Speed Racer. I'm excited for that. I could not be more serious than I am right now. That movie looks amazing.
Hey, Susan Sarandon's in it.
What?
She's always a mom.
One thing that I'm kind of upset about with the going back to the directors, Joe said that Half-Blood Prince and Deathly Hallows are two parts of one whole.
Uh-huh.
So I really wanted to see one director take on both of those, because if it's supposed to be two parts of one whole, I would really like to have the same feel for that whole section. But I have a feeling that with it being two different directors might kind of break that up, and that's really not what I want to happen there.
I just feel like we've had this conversation already when we were talking about Goblet of Fire. You know, because everyone's like, remember, it might be two movies, and got all excited, and then it's like, no, just kidding. So I don't know, I feel like it's the same thing.
I'll be cynical.
No, I'm just saying, I don't know, you know? It's, we don't know until we know, so.
Well,
But once we know,
we'll know.
Then we will know.
Right.
Well, let's have this discussion again.
Let's ask this. Would anybody be upset if it was split into two movies? With this group here? No one is saying yes.
I mean, anytime we can get more Harry Potter and more details into the actual movies from the book, that, you know, Potter fans have
happy. Well, okay, as long as, though, there are movies in form. They are structurally movies. They're not just, here's a bunch of scenes. It's all part of a big thing. No, these need to be whole movies. They need to apply the same craft, then not hide under the fact that, oh, there's another movie coming.
Plot progression, character development.
Right.
My favorite of the movies was Prisoner of Azkaban. Everyone hates me, right? But thank you. Every time I say that, people like, they mooch on me. It's horrible. But I like it. But everyone. the main complaint most people have is that they change the order of things. And it seems, if you're going to make this two movies, each movie has to have its own sort of like act structure where it's its own standalone movie. So they're going to have to shift things around. You know, events are not going to happen in the same order as they do in the book. So is that a problem?
I mean, like, on what kind of stuff? Like, do you think that they would just try to, like, for marketing value, have the Ron and Hermione kiss in the first part of it so they could be making out the whole rest of the second part?
Probably.
Everybody would be like, romance, yay!
Joe would say, I don't think Joe would.
No. I mean, she does have input, but I don't think it's a big moment for the big ending.
And the rest of it is good old-fashioned anticipation.
Unresolved sexual tension.
Right there in your and then up, oh, we're gonna go over here now.
And how do you guys predict, you know, especially the American audience, to react to, you know, this building thing? What we're supposed to understand, you know, Harry and Ginny eventually get together, and then how little you see of that actually going anywhere.
You need to put in scenes of him looking at that Marauder's map, watching who's there, who's coming and going, and to focus in on.
At the beginning of the kiss.
That has to be a real tension,
and then
a passionate, poignant moment about that.
I know. Watching children just watch them. It's so weird, you know?
That's how they feel.
The feelings is one thing. But like watching like people that you've been watching on film since they were 10.
Teenagers. But that whole arc of that story is really going to depend on how well those two actors can carry off that one scene.
Yeah. They can do it.
Yeah, I can agree.
That's really all they got.
She better
milk it for all it's worth, because that's it, man.
or as they're arriving at the loon at the Love Goods, you know, looking over the hill saying, hey, there's the burrow over there, that longing feeling that he has, that look. Over the, you know, the burrow is over there, Ginny's over there.
I think
we're discounting the fact that we haven't seen Half-Blood Prince yet either.
Exactly.
And, you know, I mean, the real big Ginny Harry build obviously is there. So they'll pull it off.
The director, David Yates. He said that a lot of how he felt Half-Blood Prince operated, aside from the learning about Voldemort, was the sexual politics and the sort of teenage sexual agendas and relationships, and that's why they're taking that angst, that sort of angst.
I love that word.
and that's where they're taking the time to cast Lavender and her friends
and all
that.
And they recasted Pansy, too.
They did recast Pansy.
That's for a reason, so.
And Romilda, it's like...
Yeah, she's in it.
Yeah.
She's in it with the...
And they've been talking about that in the promotionals, too, about Romilda and all this. It's like, really?
They probably did a big deal of Romilda.
Yeah.
So she's a nice agent of jealousy on the side.
And
McLaggen,
yeah.
McLaggen, oh, he's such a dirtbag.
Apparently Matt Lewis could pull off.
I can't wait until 7 when they finally don't give Matt Lewis the fat suit and the ears and the teeth.
Yeah.
And he walks out looking like the bad.
And all scarred,
he's gonna have like his strutting. They're gonna put like wind in his hair and he's just walking on the ground.
Are you alive?
As he's cutting off Nagini's head, she's like, I need a hero.
Oh,
guys. Do we think it's true?
Harry, live or die.
It is one really long movie. It just seems so complicated to split it up and to be able to find, like you're saying, that intact story arc for both movies.
I mean, what we really have to go off of here, let's use examples we've been using. Kill Bill and Lord of the Rings. And Lord of the Rings is an incredibly complex story, and they were able to tell that as three separate movies. So I'm sure that...
Three books.
No, it's one book. But it's split into three anyway.
Well, they changed the divisions anyway.
Yeah, it's true.
But the difference is that he doesn't stop and do backstory in the beginning.
Yeah, there's none of that.
There's none of that in the books because it was all one story. Yeah. If he had stopped in the... But yeah, this whole backstory thing, we don't need it anymore. We don't.
Yeah.
They should just pass out little pamphlets to everybody in the theater. Like, in case you are a total noob, this is what happened before this movie.
Or like on TV shows where they're like, last time.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Like, do a rinse. They have a little, if it's a show rinse, they have a little...
In the playbill?
...story thing in the playbill.
Yeah,
like
who's
there?
They could give out special playbills that are, you know...
Yeah.
It'd be awesome. Movie pills,
I mean... I thought there's been some before in special theaters, you know, but this...
I think it'd be fun because I see a lot of fan videos of people that take footage from all the movies and just kind of make fun little things about like a whole everything up to this point in a few minutes. And can you imagine like Warner Brothers editing power and these guys putting together something, a collage of everything up to that point, and just airing that or putting that before the movie just for the hell of it?
With Lord of the Rings, they did do that before each of the movies on television. They would have this kind of recap of not only how the movies were made, but it was also a recap of the story that they put out to the general public about a month before the movies opened.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the recapping that they did, so that when you went to the movie theater, it was fresh in your mind and you knew it was going to happen.
Yeah. There's a chain of movie theaters in Austin that does something like that with sequels. Alex played there before. It's the Alamo Draft House. And for every Harry Potter sequel, I know they've done it. They did it for the Spider-Man movies, and I think for Pirates. They did, like, homemade little montages of what you've missed up until now. And they were usually really funny, but they were factual.
I think that's a really cool idea.
The trailers
could accomplish it, but then you'd have to make sure that the person in the movie had seen the trailer. Which isn't always the case, but...
They could play that as the trailer to the movie.
Yeah.
The trailer to Harry Potter before the movie. I mean, why not? Who knows? If they're going to do this thing and, like, establish a new precedent anyway,
why not? And they have excuse. No, who else has put out 7 movies or 8 movies if that happens this way?
Hey, if this happens, here's what I want to know. If this happens, 2.5 hours a movie, that's 20 hours a movie. Are we going to be doing marathons for the Lord of the Rings fans too, or is that just too much?
I think special theaters, we could figure this out.
Yeah.
There have to be some cuts.
You mean of all
7.1
movies?
Yeah, it'll be like the little independent theaters will probably do it. And you'll have people with like sleeping bags, camping out, taking naps during their least favorite parts.
I mean, I don't think people will be able to give their rapt attention for 20 straight hours, but their favorite parts, anyway, they can go screw around it.
Just pay your ticket and then you come in when you want to come in and see what you want to see kind of thing. It's like
Or do them on the Jumbotrons at, like, stadiums so that everybody can pitch a tent on the field.
Oh, my God, like a Quidditch World Cup. Could you imagine? If somebody were to throw, like, a convention at a football field... We can all have tents.
Awesome.
Could you imagine that? That would be great. I'm sure we could find plenty of people to plan every bit of that. That would be perfect. Yeah, the color of the tent. Yeah. We'd be at the Superdome in New Orleans. It wouldn't cost anything at that place for the weekend. Registration, $5,000. It's like a cruise.
You can't bring your own tent.
You're paying $5,000. We ain't giving you a tent. Are you serious? Oh, God.
I just kind of game out the logistics of that, like, beyond the cost. You know you're going to have a bunch of, like, punk Slytherin kids going through, messing things up in the middle of the night.
Like, trash in
the
pants.
Oh, we're dead
There would totally be that bit.
And then actually set fire.
And you wake up on fire. Thanks, guys. Yeah. Thank you.
Somebody's like flying through the air, and you're just going,
what the hell?
Yeah, exactly.
I love magic.
Oh, it starts to so light.
Well, you'd have to give all the cops or costumes so they could still be in character and calm down the ruckus.
Yeah, calm down the ruckus.
So you'd have to teach them how to appear in a cloud of
white smoke. I know, that's a trick.
So you know they're the good guys.
Yeah.
How did you know otherwise?
What is that cloud of smoke?
Wait, is it white? Okay, we're good.
Wait, we can take...
No, my white smoke is only... My black smoke is only my disguise. I'm really good, but I like to disguise.
Yeah. Nice.
Baby powder in the pocket. You just throw it. And walk
But how wrap this up? What we got? Final thoughts from anybody?
Is it true? Do we think it's true?
Do we think it's true?
I think it's a definite possibility.
The Daily Mail said that the crew was told that the seventh movie was going to be in two parts. And you have to tell the crew that because if they sign on for one part of the movie, they're going to be attached for another. And you don't know if they want to be attached for two movies. They might have other projects in mind that contractually they have to know ahead of time. The fact that the crew knows this kind of makes me feel like it's true. Like, I know people who are crew in Hollywood, and they get told things a lot earlier than you think the crew would know, like, way before cast knows anything sometimes. So that's why I'm like... This could easily be true because of the fact that they mentioned crew.
Also, there's been a pattern over the years at Leaky that when really weird rumors come out of left field, they kind of sometimes usually tend to be right. Like, no, seriously, there's sort of an art to kind of feeling out what's the rumor and what's not. And I know this sounds weird, but when an anonymous email comes with no signature and it's a one-liner from freaking nowhere, you...
The crew...
You do a double take, because somebody just says, hey, we got one of these emails that says, hey, Harry Potter movie 7 is going to be in two parts, bye. And you read it, obviously can't use that to report anything, but you're just like, that was weird and has absolutely no justification, except if somebody was just being an idiot. And then this comes up, you know, and it's starting to have that little spidey sense about it, you know.
Mm.
I'm not going to count my Deathly Hallows until they're hatched.
Because we see, I don't know. It could be, though. And I think you're right about the crew thing. If the crew is saying it, then it's much more probable.
I already have my headset on it. It's fine with me. Okay, that's cool. Yeah.
Just kidding.
JK, LOL.
Bravo.
Okay. That's, I think, the end of this week's staff cast. Tune in for the next Melissa Party Weekend.
Yay!
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Scribby 5. My name is Nina, or Severine Snape, and I'm here with my two lovely friends, Erin and Linda. Hey guys.
Hello.
Hey. And today we are talking about an essay from issue 20, I think it was. It's called More Than Revenge, which is an essay on the wonderful Neville Longbottom, and it's written by our very own Linda. Yay!
Yay! Linda, I loved your essay.
Thank you.
You obviously love Neville a lot. Tell me about that. Like, what is it about Neville?
I've just really always loved Neville. Ever since reading the first book, I've just loved him. I thought he was a great character. He's kind of the underdog, but just the way he stood up to the trio at the end of Sorcerer's Stone was amazing, and I just fell in love with him ever since then. And, you know, it doesn't hurt that he's played by the amazing Matthew Lewis. I mean, I kind of have a soft spot for him.
That does
too,
help,
so.
Yes.
Yeah, I've just always loved Neville.
Yeah, me too. I think he's a wonderful character. He seems like such a weak character at first, but the more you get to know him, the more you realize how strong and centered and focused he is. I love that about him.
Yeah.
And he's so brave. What about you, Erin? Do you have any strong feelings about Neville?
Well, yeah. You know, I never really loved Neville, but I found him fascinating as a character, especially in his parallel to Harry. Their lives were kind of on this sort of similar course.
And he turned out to be so important to the end of Deathly Hallows, which I thought was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I loved Neville's role in Deathly Hallows. He had such an important role. I mean, he was the leader of the resistance, so to speak, at school at Hogwarts. And then the whole thing with the snake at the end, I thought Neville's role in Deathly Hallows was absolutely wonderful. But after reading your essay, Linda, I realized that not everybody was happy with Neville's role. And you were one of those people, weren't you? What was it about Deathly Hallows that you didn't like?
Well, I did love, like you said, everything about what Neville did. I was just disappointed that he didn't get to have a showdown with Bellatrix, because just looking at the other books, the way that Bella had tortured his parents and just everything that had happened to him, it seemed to me like it would be poetic justice, I guess, so to speak, for him to be able to have a showdown with Bellatrix and defeat her. And I didn't think he would actually kill her, because I didn't think Neville had it in him to kill, but I did want something there. So after reading that, I was really disappointed. So I had to go back and look at it.
Right. I expected it that it was going to happen. I was so sure it was going to be a showdown, but then I wasn't disappointed. I guess because I wasn't longing for it to happen per se, but I also liked the way Molly took care of Bella. She really took care of her.
Oh yeah, that was awesome. Oh, yeah. So yeah, it's easier if you're not really invested in that idea. But even, I mean, what I thought was interesting in your essay, Linda, was that you, because I hadn't noticed that, but even in the Order of the Phoenix movie, they give Neville a line. What was it exactly?
Yeah.
He talks to Bella about being avenged or something?
Yeah, Bellatrix, Helena Bonham Carter, asks him, how are your parents, or how's mom and dad, or something, and he says, they're better now that they're about to be avenged, and he goes as if he's going to hex her or something, and Harry stops him. And, okay, I have to admit, I loved that moment, even though it's really not in Neville's character to do that, because that's what I discovered when I went back and looked at books and sort of went through and reexamined Neville's characters, that he's really not someone who would take revenge. He does what he does to protect other people. You know, in Sorcerer's Stone, he wants to stop the trio from getting in trouble, both for themselves and for Gryffindor. And in Order of the Phoenix, he fights to keep the prophecy safe. He doesn't fight to get back at Bellatrix. And then
even Harry does go after Bellatrix.
Prince, he fights for the school, not for himself. Yeah, that's right. In Order of the Phoenix, Harry goes after Bellatrix once she kills Sirius, but Neville is just trying to keep the prophecy safe. He doesn't care, per se, about what Bella is doing.
Yeah, I agree. Neville really fights for the whole battle, so to speak. You know, he's not just interested in winning his own little battles. He wants the whole war to be won. That's the way you say it, isn't it? I love that about
exactly,
him.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, I love that, and I actually hadn't noticed that at all, Linda, until I read your essay, and that was really good for me, because I thought, oh, wow, and I totally agreed with your observation, and it really converted me to a true Neville lover.
Good. I'm glad we converted you, because I'm always lovable.
But not everyone agrees that Neville was out for more than revenge, or he wasn't out for revenge at all. There's some people who think he was a bit vengeful, and there's a bit of a discussion about it going on in the forum thread for this essay. So, you know, if you're interested in weighing in on that, or you just want to read what other people think, make sure you check out this essay thread in the Leaky Cauldron forum.
Cool. I think that's it for us today, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well,
yeah,
thank you very much for listening once again, and we will talk to you very soon. See you guys.
Yep, bye.
Bye.
Well, that was fun.
That was all kinds of fun.
Different.
I'm kind of a little spacey right now.
Why is that, John?
You know, I'm just amped up on all the pumpkin juice.
Uh-huh. I think we should have a party once a month.
Well, this wasn't a... It was timed with my finishing, or my deadline rather, but it wasn't a book party. It was just I have not had a chance to hang out with my friends in months because of this.
Oh, so what were all the balloons all about?
No, shut up. There's none. My mother wanted to get a big cake and write my name on it.
Oh,
like
I wanted
like,
your... I wish I
no,
with your face.
No, no. I said no.
I'm already bringing all the Mushka Pinata.
No,
you are not.
I said shut up.
Mushka Pinata.
I have at least... I have 3 Mushka Pinatas.
Oh, I can't wait.
All in various
wait.
Stages of claws.
I
out.
Can't wait for you to see her again.
Really?
Ooh, that's kind of outfit on? Amusement for me. It's just amusement for me. I just find it funny.
Okay, Moses,
I'm
like,
trying to be all happy and upbeat because we're podcasting and I'm not supposed to be downbeat while we're podcasting, but I...
Well, Melvin is back where everybody's happy now, so I guess we can't call you back Melvin anymore. So it's Melissa. Melissa's back.
I don't know if that name's going anywhere anytime soon.
I don't think
but,
so.
Melissa at least will be here for a while and Pottercast
yeah.
will be here. For a while in 2008 until our end date in July.
That is not.
Sorry, I'm kidding.
Do not believe him. If
he's
new to this cast, do not
believe
him.
We've been getting emails from people being like, "Oh my God, what's happening? Our fandom's going away. Please tell us you're not going off the air."
Nothing's going away.
And we don't have any plans to go anywhere for a while, guys. So chillax.
Yeah, chillax.
All
we
good.
Got 2 movies, guys. We'll be around. Plenty of stuff to keep this end going, so.
Yes, you know, that's the beauty part of it. If there's not enough stuff to report on or talk about, let's create it. That's fun.
And
so podcast
say, yeah.
acting troupe auditions
that's right.
will be worked out hopefully by the end of this weekend, and you'll have
Oh, John, how many times have you said that?
How many times have I had a party with Meg to look forward to?
Okay, good.
Meg, owner... Operator.
She's awesome.
Author of Person from the Sugar Quill who was helping us with our script. Inflation writing it. So it'll be fun. To hopefully
right.
have, by the time this show is out, more details on how to audition for the acting group.
So hang in there, everyone.
Alright, I have got a kitchen full of pumpkin juice.
Oh,
yummy.
Excellent.
So I will see you guys later.
Alright, well, thanks everyone. You all have a good week.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye.
Guys, thanks for listening. See ya.
We missed it.
Dobby is free.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great, Scott. No wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when one's having fun.
This week's podcast was produced by the Pottercast Trio and Steve Bonnet. Thanks, as always, to our awesome transcription elves for transcribing this and all our other episodes on Pottercast.com. For more information about the show and how to contact us and be a part of future episodes, visit Pottercast.com.
Ew, there's something sticking out of your cauldron. It's getting all over my shoes. This cauldron's got a hole in it.
This summer, I was like, what the fuck does raffle mean? What are they doing? I was like, what are they saying? And Stephanie goes, I don't know, let me look into it. And like the next day, she goes, oh, I get it. And I was like, what? And she goes, they're not talking about ruffles, they're saying R-O-F-L. And I was like, that's just stupid! This has been a week of stress for me!
John just
starts
with Raffle in the middle of the podcast. And I looked at him, I was like, what are you on? And then it took me, and then it hit me, and then I got it.
I think I blew up Elf Chat one night. I was like, I don't know what they're saying. This is due tomorrow.
Let me get a dictionary here.
I don't know what the hell they even talk about.
What would Harry Potter do if he had to get to this party? Like, would he call a car service, or would he throw a magical...
Operate.
Oh, yeah, he can operate now.
Yeah.
I really...
No, what if Harry was stuck in Muggle London without his magical ability?
He'd get beat up. Harry would definitely get beat up a lot.
Well,
the glasses and the scar and the dorky clothes, come on.
Yeah, I mean, if he's wearing his robes, he's in trouble. I don't know.
Well, he does have some sense. Because he did grow up for his first years as a mother.
True.
I don't know. Taxis in London are easy to get. And then there's the tube, which is easy to navigate.
The tubes are...
Well, sadly, we don't have Dumbledore anymore to use his handy scar.
What's that?
Sadly, we don't have Dumbledore anymore to use his handy scar.
Oh, here's a question. Who here has tattoos? You?
Yeah.
Who here has thought about getting some kind of Harry Potter-related tattoo?
I have.
No way!
Are you kidding? No, you did it!
I did.
What is it?
Sign of the Deathly Hallows on my right ankle.
That's pretty cool. He's got the Deathly Hallows tattoo on his ankle.
Another one for Lemony Snicket.
Wow.
Wow.
That's cool.
I thought about having a little lightning bolt.
Yeah.
Lightning bolt tattoos?
One of my best,
a small one, not
one of my best
giant
friends has, like, the size of my hand, a Ravenclaw shield on his thigh.
Whoa.
Like,
in color?
In color. It's beautiful.
That's cool.
Yeah. It fell out in chunks after the first go-round, though.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's had to get it touched up since.
That's not what you want to happen.
Out of his calf, no.
What have you thought about getting tattooed?
I've thought about getting just a little willow tree on the inside of my wrist.
Will it look like a traditional willow, or like a cartooned, like, character version?
More like a traditional, like a tree.
Here, our guys here.
Oh, our ride's here.
Hi, people. Okay.
I told you.
Look around, Vic.
I like you.
Right there.
I'm on the little Mr. Magiacomo.
Hello.
Cropping.
Mr. Noe.
How's it going?
And myself.
Woohoo.
In the back of this ground vic going through the little shindig that we're doing.
Shindig?
And I'm holding on the ice.
And Lizzie is
holding
on the ice.
This is the ice cleanup.
Beautiful
front.
Shot of Lizzie.
I have some ice.
Light.
Oh, it's in my groin. The ice is in my groin.
And the ice.
Oh, it's not like
It's not
where you want ice to be.
That's a bad
My legs are very, very cold right now.
Is there an ice spell?
Can
you freeze things?
Iceo?
Iceo?
Freezeo?
Well,
there's a water spell and a fire spell.
Expecto Patrisum.
There's never a wind or an ice spell.
No, Flitwick does a wind spell.
What was it?
There's gotta
oh,
be
Oh my god, you're right!
There's gotta be one for...
Wow.
They make it magically
isn't J.K. Rowling all into elements anyway?
I know, we should totally have asked her that.
Oh, you mean when you interviewed
really
her on your show?
Right, yeah.
Pottercast?
I'll wait for the next one.
How's it going, guys?
Great.
So can we make up like a really good story of why we're half an hour late to Melissa's party and tell it to her and then have her believe it again? So what can we
yeah,
do?
I think so. Have you ever read the Harry Potter books, Mr. Driver?
Hmm?
Have you ever read Harry Potter?
Maybe what?
The book Harry Potter? The book?
The book?
The guy who does magic, the wizard. Those movies called Harry Potter.
Ah, the Harry Potter.
Yeah. Do you know anything about that?
Me, I don't read. My kids don't want it.
Oh, they don't like
lie.
It?
No, don't like.
Oh, okay.
My kids don't like. You have?
Yeah. We enjoy it. It's pretty popular.
Yeah, we're pretty big fans.
Yeah.
We like it a lot.
You see the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I see one, it's okay, but my kids, they... I don't buy the movies, but the book tells me that the kids don't like red. No?
How old are your kids?
They got 15, 14, and 12.
Oh, okay. Mm. That's usually a popular age for it. But not for everybody, I guess.
Many people don't like red. My kids don't like the red, you know?
Oh, okay.
But Mia is red, but in Spanish, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you think Harry Potter would be lost in New York if he was accidentally, like, took a portkey over here? It's like, well, where am I? Where's Hedwig? Or whatever.
I think Hedwig's dead.
I mean,
start crying in Times Square.
It's my fault! It's always my fault!
So... angry.
I'm so mad. I'm so incredibly angry.
It's right in New York, actually.
That's true. Hey, if the Whomping Willow could have given Harry advice during Deathly Hallows while he was wondering where the rest of the Horcruxes were, what would the Whomping Willow have told him?
Honestly, I think the Whomping Willow had his hands full.
Really?
He had Voldemort inside him.
This is true. What did he think of that?
He was stressed. I mean, that's what my new CD is all about.
Really?
Like, he's carrying the mother load of evil in his passages there. And,
was Voldemort gentle to get in there? Did he touch the knot with his foot, or did he use, like, a dark magic spell?
Jeez, I don't know. I mean, he had Snape with him at that point.
So yeah.
Snape, you know, knew the drill. But
Snape did know the drill. Oh. Yeah, in the movie, they just cheat and they'd be like, Immobilus. They're like, come on. It was that easy. Anybody could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Potter.
Yeah. I saw on the Google Maps we had to go on the expressway.
Oh.
Yeah.
So we're on our way to Melissa's party. I don't know what it's calling it, what we're calling it.
Party of parties.
The party to celebrate family and friends of Melissa.
The party to celebrate family and friends of Melissa.
So it's basically our party.
I'm expecting presents.
For us.
Yeah.
Yes.
According to the invitation,
party favors.
We're celebrating everything except Melissa.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to congratulate
presents
her.
Presents aren't allowed.
Really?
Yeah, that's what the invitation
is. I didn't even read that.
Yeah, you're actually supposed to yell at her for taking so long.
Yeah.
Is this going to be, like, on a podcast?
I don't know.
No way.
Should I sound more intelligent?
Are you kidding me? You just, like, turned a normal question into promoting your record. How is this possible? Yeah.
I didn't really like that.
I didn't mean to do that.
That was cool.
That's not what I was aiming for.
Yeah.
I was just, like, bam in your face. I've already thought of this.
True.